Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, hello. I would very much like to welcome you to another episode of Rahalastapa. This one was recorded in Liverpool and stars the wonderful, multi-talented Kate Robbins. You're going to enjoy it. She's extremely good. Thank you for your massive support over the years with these podcasts. Do tell your friends if you enjoy them. Do support us by going to GoFasterStrike.com, buying some books, Top Trumps, or DVDs or downloads, or become a monthly badger at gofasterstripe.com/badges. We have plans to do an exciting sitcom-based sci-fi project later in the year, which we will need money for, but we are using the ad money from the podcast to make that. So anything you give will just go towards making more podcasts, which is a nice thing to think, isn't it? How lovely is that? We are doing some more live shows. I'm wearing a hairband. It's the kind of guy I am now. And if you go to richhang.com/gigs, you can find out about those coming up gigs, mainly in London, in Mondays in March and April the 6th. And we're also Birmingham and Norwich, so those may be sold out as I speak. But check the venues for returns. Come on, let's watch an episode of Rahalastapa, or listen to it with our ears. And thank you for your increased continuing participation in this project. Oh, look, I've got like a Noughts and Crosses grid come across me. Oh, God, what's that mean? It's the omen. I'm going to be killed in a game of Noughts and Crosses. That won't make sense if you're listening at home. But if you're watching the video, oh, look, I'm going in and out of it. Ah, this is the most trippy thing I've ever seen. I'm on drugs. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Liverpool Playhouse. Please welcome a man who's tripping off his nuts on no sleep. It's Richard Herring. Yo, yo.
Hello. Hello, Liverpool. It's great to be back. I'll fight you all. Come on. Hello. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lamb Banana Spit Roasting Telethon podcast. What we're doing, got to come up with a new podcast idea. This podcast idea is we're going to try and raise funds via a telethon to organise it so the Super Lamb Banana, the people in Liverpool will be aware of everyone else's thing. In Liverpool, people at home, they've got a sculpture which is half a lamb and half a banana, because that's just the kind of thing they like here. And it's very sexy. Is having sex with a lamb banana cheating? I don't know if it is. What we're going to do is try to raise money for the surviving Beatles to spit roast. It's going to be a lot of money, well, for Paul, and there's so much for Ringo. While Pete Best watches, saying, oh, that could have been me in that. See how we do with that. So I was hanging out in Penny Lane the other day, funny enough, talking to the Beatles, chatting to a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure of to know. I said, what, you've taken a picture of everybody's head who's ever come in here? That's a bit weird, isn't it? He said, no, it's not just a selection of photos to show what haircuts they could have. You've literally taken a photo, then, this is the 1960s, gone to a shop, had that printed up, and then put it in the window. I presume you've had thousands of people at this barbershop, and you've filled the window with every single photo of those people's heads. I mean, that's a bit weird, isn't it? He said, no, it's normal. He said, it's the kind of thing a serial killer would do. So don't worry about me. There's a banker with a motor car. He just doesn't wear a Mac in the rain, mate. He's the weird one. Anyway, that... He calls it Rehearsed, but anyway, that guy. So it's satirising 50-year-old songs. That's what I do. I'm pretty good. Showing that. So we're here in Liverpool. Let's see. I've got some jokes about Liverpool for you. It's dominated for me by two cathedrals at either end of Hope Street, which I like the fact there's two cathedrals on Hope Street. They're opposing cathedrals, but I hope I'm right for this one. I hope there's a God to me too. I hope Christianity's all right. There's an Anglican one and a Catholic cathedral at the other end. And when the day of judgment comes, those two cathedrals are going to rise up and fight it out on Hope Street like sort of Transformers. There's some debate in Liverpool about whether Catholicism or Protestantism is the right one. I'm going to sort that out for you tonight, ladies. Protestantism is the correct one, so... it's got the biggest... That's the biggest cathedral in the UK, the Anglican one, so it's got to be right, isn't it? God's not going to go... God's going to go, yeah, I'll have the biggest one. He's not going to have the second. Sort it out. And there's more to Liverpool than the Beatles, of course. It's also the slave trade. Built on the slave trade. My favourite story I found on Wikipedia is of a tough... Liverpool are tough crowds, right? And they don't take any shit. They don't like people joking about Liverpool in Liverpool, even though they've got the best sense of humour in the world. They don't like that when that sense of humour is turned on them. The best heckle story I found on Wikipedia is an actor called George Frederick Cook, who was drunk on a performance and got hissed by a Liverpool audience. And this is what he said. I have not come here to be insulted by a set of wretches. Every brick in whose infernal town is cemented with African blood. Fucking hell. Now back to the play. Yeah. I wonder if he got out of the city alive, that guy. I'm not condoning what... That is awful what he said there. That is a terrible, true thing to say. So it's a terrible, terrible, like, true thing to say. We'll get on. I'll give you one more fact about... people in Liverpool are very proud. Lots of charities started here. The RSPCA started here. Liverpool are very proud of that. But, you know, that's not something to be proud of. Then where are people cruelest animals? Liverpool, let's start up there. That's where we're going to have to start. It's a great place. So I do love it here in Liverpool. We'll talk more next week if you can get back. If you can come back next week. So we've had a switch of guests. So just in order, my guest this week is probably best known for her portrayal of Joan in Sex Lives of the Potato Man. That's why we're here. I've had many of the stars of Sex Lives of the Potato Men on this show, and I plan to get them all on eventually. Will you please welcome the amazing Kate Robbins, ladies and gentlemen? Come in, sit down. Here's the microphone. There you go. I'll pour you some water out as well. Look, I'm a very polite host.
Thank you.
They could have done that before. But I've got to do it myself. I've got to do everything. I do the clapperboard, I do the water. Terrible, isn't it? Anyway, welcome to the show. How are you, Kate?
I'm showing a little bit the back of those jeans.
That's just to get you excited before we start. We've had a kiss. It's all going well.
I'd forgotten about that film, Sex Lives of Potato Men. Thanks very much for that.
How could you have forgotten?
Oh, dear. Did anybody see it? Ooh.
Yeah. Not as bad as everyone says, was it? I mean, everyone says it was really bad, though. But it's not that bad.
It was lottery money, wasn't it? It was lottery funded, yeah.
Yeah, blimey.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a lottery, isn't it? The British film industry. So, I'm very delighted to have you on. We've had your daughter on before.
Yeah.
Emily Atack.
Yeah.
Came out of you, yeah, like a Russian doll.
She did, yeah.
Of talent.
Yeah, she did.
But you're from... I will talk about that first. You're a huge showbiz dynasty, the Robbins and many other surnames. Your mother was the cousin of Paul McCartney?
Yeah. First cousins, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
You see, you've got to understand, when you come from Liverpool, when you grew up in Liverpool, as I did in Zigzag Lane in West Derby, and you went to school, you know, everybody said that they were related to Paul McCartney, so it wasn't really a thing, you know. Yeah. Nobody believed you anyway, so you never told them.
Well, and everyone who's under 50 is related to Paul McCartney. I mean, it's their dad. But so it's... what you have is a wonderful family of gorgeous English rose women, beautiful women. I've seen
your makeup.
And
thank you.
And Ted Robbins. It's like the whole family was concentrated on creating these beautiful women, and then what was left over was.
Yeah. But what people don't realise about our Ted is that he is. He's university, you know, he's got a really good degree, and he looks like a end-of-peer reactionary right-wing comic, doesn't he? But he's not, because when he was once warming up, he was warming up the audience for University Challenge, and he was getting a really hard time from the students. He was trying to tell his jokes, and they were all like, you know, oh, no, sit down, fancy. You know, they're really being horrible to him. And Ted said, what are you studying then? What are you studying, love? And she said... madrigals in English literature. And he said, oh, you'll know about Orlando Gibbons then. And then he started quoting some madrigal to her. And then he had them in the palm of his hand.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good heckle pit put down. Yeah, for that specific, he waited his whole life.
Madrigals, yeah. So he's clever, Arte.
He is clever. And is he well now? He had a bit of a...
Yeah, he had a heart attack on stage.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. He's got a little thing to stop it ever happening again.
Okay. Mm. They should give everyone one of those.
Yeah, everyone.
That's pretty nice.
Shit.
I'd like one of those. So, let's start at the beginning. I was doing a show the other week, and the makeup artist was your niece, is that right?
Yeah, she's beautiful. No, she is beautiful.
There's all these beautiful... It's an English a family of English roses.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Half Welsh, not so English. Okay. Half Welsh.
Well, we're all a mismatch, aren't we? That's the beauty of the old United Kingdom before Brexit. I'm assuming Brexit's happened by the time this goes out, but we'll see. That's for people at home to judge. The thing I'm obsessed with, and this is quite an early job for you, is your Eurovision Song Contest appearance.
Yeah.
You're in Prima Donna.
1980,
the year before Bucks Fizz won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Prima Donna.
Yeah.
Who were quite... When I saw Prima
Donna... Three boys, three girls.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a Bucks... Bucks Fizz, I thought you'd stolen the star from Bucks Fizz.
No, they stole from us,
yeah.
If you don't mind. Yeah.
I do.
And it was called Love Enough for Two, and it got we came third in The Hague. And at the time, I remember a few years afterwards, I was slightly ashamed that I'd been in the Eurovision Song Contest and hadn't won, And now it's something, you know, we always come last every year.
Yeah, third's
now.
So amazing.
Now, like, third would be amazing.
They but put it in The Hague, though, did they? I mean, that seems
in
a bit,
the Hague, we
bit
had
extreme.
This...
Not that bad.
Oh, that's a good gag. I'm going to use that. But we had this Dutch girl who looked after us, and she was called Benin van Vloten, and she was so sexy. You know, the way that the Dutch people are talking about the sex. very openly all the time. And she was just like, she sort of hung around with us and she looked after us. And she said, can they come to see you in England? And she came over and she shagged all my friends, male and female. And she was always talking about the shag. Always. And one morning, this is quite a rude story, you'll probably have to cut this out.
Okay.
One morning...
No, we won't.
We were all staying in this, like, tatty little travelodge or whatever, because we were doing gigs around the country, and she'd come and she was joining. And she walked in, and she went, oh, that anal shag's really hurts. And she was like... She'd had it off with, like, three men that night, and then another, and then a woman the next night. And then she was so shaggy. And then I met up with her years later, and she was married to a diplomat, and she was all, like, normal. She was like, yeah... Benin her name was. Sure, that was dead. But there was lots of sabotage backstage in the Eurovision Song Contest. There were people like, you know, trying to throw red wine over Hungarian, you know, guitarists, white lycra trousers. I did see somebody try to trip somebody up before they went on. It was quite scary because, you know, you're going out there. It was my first television ever. And I was going out to something like 500 million. I don't know the statistics, but it was terrifying, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Do you remember the song?
I do.
Go on.
If there's a room... No, if there's a place in your heart for me, then there's a room in my place for you. It's
kind of because I've got a love in there.
Yeah, slightly creepy.
It's terrible here, isn't it?
It's sort of like they do that now, don't they? You can stay here for free if you have sex with me. That's the new thing.
And they put me in this minimizer bra, I remember, because the other two girls in the group, my sister and Sally Ann Triplett, who's a big West End star now, they were very flat-chested and I wasn't, and they put me in this... they used to bind me up with bandages and then put this minimizer bra over me to make me flat-chested.
Oh.
And then when my arms went up, there were just these big lumps under my armpits. It's got to go somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah. And Terry Wogan was doing...
Oh, do you know what? Getting drunk with Terry Wogan, that was a box ticked for me. And it was the year that Ireland, you know, had their first win, and then they went on to win it 100 times after that. But he was like he really wanted Ireland to win, obviously, but he couldn't say that because he was sort of with us. But what a great fella, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, terrific. And so out of that, would the Crossroads come after? That came after.
Crossroads came after that, yeah.
So you played a pop star in Crossroads.
Yeah, I got headhunted. I was playing in the Old Kent Road. I was living in London by then, and I was playing in the Old Kent Road, and I got headhunted by ATV at the time, who were looking for a young unknown to appear in Crossroads. And every time I sort of went into the foyer of the Crossroads Motel, I would sing the song of the record because it was totally corrupt. The producer, he's dead now, I can say it, the producer of Crossroads was on a cut of the royalties of the record.
Right.
So I'd go in and go, you know, Chalet 23, please, more than in love. And every time I'd get my key, I'd start singing it. And, you know, Mrs. Brownlow, the cleaner's there, you know, with the vacuum cleaner. The jacquard, it's a typing error. It should say Mrs. Brownlow hovering in the background, you know. It was really, really awful.
Yeah.
Well, hovering, hoovering, yeah.
They got there in the end. They say that you were meant to be recording your song in the... The recording basement. Studio in the basement of the Crossroads Motel that had that famous recording studio down there that they put in for that one episode. It became a big hit.
It sold 500,000 and it got me some money for the first time in my life. I had a bit of money, so it was nice. I put a deposit down my house, so you know, I can't knock it too much, like.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Don't knock it at all. I mean, what is amazing about your career, and people will know you from one or two things each person, I think, but you've been in sort of everything over the last...
I have done classic comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I've done Last of the Summer Wine. That was a great show to do because it wrapped at 2:30 in the afternoon. Everyone was too knackered and old. So they said, that's a wrap, 2:30, great. I've done loads of classic things like that. I can't think of any of them now. But I've done, you know, Phoenix Nights, and I'm always one episode, Kate.
Yeah.
That's what they call me.
But also, but both, I mean, because you started in the early 80s, and it's in the sort of slightly old school.
Well, I was a pop singer first, remember?
Yeah.
And I sung a songwriter.
Yeah.
And then I started doing impressions when I was just like singing adverts. I used to sing adverts.
Right.
You know, I used to do when the chicken back and put the freshness back, do the chicken back and put the freshness back, things like that. And I used to then start doing impressions of people. So then I started doing that for a living.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, and then I started doing Cilla. Because, and the reason I did Cilla, Cilla Black, was because I'd written her theme tune to Surprise Surprise.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, she once caught me in the corridors. I was doing Saturday Live with Harry Enfield, and I was there with the orange wig on. And everyone used to say, oh, your false teeth you do for Cilla. And I said, sorry, they're me own. And I was like, I was standing there going, oh, right, oh, oh, yeah, 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 oh, right. And she walked past me in the corridor because she it was the same building. She went, are you okay? What are you doing today? And I was like, and I couldn't. I was like, oh, I'm just doing this funny show. It's just, and she didn't recognise herself at all. It's funny. But Surprise Surprise was great because it was the first time I'd ever written a, you know, a theme tune that... I did a few theme tunes, but yeah. That was the one that, you know, sort of is in people's minds. I think if people usually know the words to Surprise Surprise.
Yeah.
The unexpected hits you.
Between the eyes.
Yeah. And it's laughter, love and joy in disguise. But the worst part about that programme...
Yes.
..was I used to have to write the syllograms, which were... somebody thought it was a good idea for Cilla to go around hospitals singing to sick children. God rest her soul. And, I mean, I love Cilla, by the way. I'm not, you know, slagging her off. She wouldn't mind me talking about her. But she... So I used to write the syllograms. And there were things like... Laura the lollipop lady, we think you're awful nice. I've come to sing this song to you because you've survived diverticulitis twice. You know, and it was like... And then I do remember another one. Let's laugh, let's cheer, because Billy hasn't died this year. I was paid really handsomely to do it, and I... Oh. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I mean, at the time, I remember thinking, this is the worst job you could ever do, but, you know, obviously, I look back fondly at it now.
Yeah. Well, but what's interesting, you sort of... And I think maybe a little bit like Les Dennis, who we had on quite recently, you sort of managed to straddle both worlds. So you were in the doing some of the old variety sort of shows, and as in the
absolutely.
80s, as those sort of shows carried on.
Yeah.
But then you were also working with Sean Hughes and the Saturday Night Live people and the comic strip and things like that, weren't you?
Well, I did Cilla on Harry Enfield. We had the Scousers. I don't know what real Scousers think about the Scousers as they were depicted on... Do you remember it on Harry Enfield? They were, calm down, with the, you know, the perm.
I think they don't like it.
No. It's nothing like the Scousers.
Best sense of humour in the world, isn't it? That's the best sense of humour in the world.
So I went on that as Cilla and I had a scrap, you know. We did a blind date sketch with the Scousers, which was quite funny. But then, of course, I did Dinner Ladies playing Babs from Urmston, which was a... Come from Urmston. And she went a bit like this. I don't think we'd get away with it now because I think she was, you know, a bit sort of educationally subnormal, the character. And I think actually would not... I don't think we would get away with it.
No, maybe
but
not.
It's like... she knew all the names of the kitchen equipment. Oh, you know all that kitchen equipment, he'd say to her. And she'd go, the Silverline 24, that one. Oh, yeah. And he says, oh, you know a lot, don't you? I was going to go on Mastermind, but I can't sit on leather. And nobody knew it was me for years and years and years. And I remember my husband at the time, not with him now, but my husband at the time really didn't want to have sex with me for about 10 days. that's why we're not together anymore. But that was good.
I mean, it'd been worse if he wanted to have sex with you more.
Yes.
That'd have been the worst.
Yeah. Babs from Urmston, that was a lovely character. I mean, you know, working with Julie Walters and Celia Imrie and all those. And I did get the second series as well, so it wasn't just one ep.
No, it was full on.
Proper.
And you do. There's a lovely a Victoria Wood sort of tribute impression you do, which is very worth... Googling and looking up on YouTube, but it's
Victoria Wood sings Bond themes because it's the sort of thing she wouldn't sing, obviously. So it's like in Diamonds Are Forever. Oh, they stimulate and tease me. And you've only lived twice, or so they say. You don't think that it's nice, you only live twice. I can't think of any more. I can't do it without the piano. That's the thing.
No, it's worth. Like, it's the piano is a big
part. Goldfinger is a man with the mightiest touch. He's got his finest touch.
It's a top impression, and it works very
Thank
well. It works very well.
She hated it, actually.
Did she?
That's two people who are not with us anymore who I'm sort of talking about sort of in a ribald, in a rough way, but they don't mind.
Well, and all the everyone in Last of Summer Wine's dead as well. It's like you've got their touch of death.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Is anyone still alive that you work with?
Good God. That's a very good point. James Franco, I've done a movie with him.
Okay.
There you go. You didn't know that, did you?
I did know that. It was called Flyboys.
Oh, yeah.
I do my proper research. Also, Jean
Reno
was
a bit of a Wally. James Franco.
Well, at least that's how history will judge him, I think, as a bit of a Wally.
Flippin' heck.
What did he do?
Well, he wouldn't rehearse with me. And I was like, you know, I was playing a French madam in a brothel, and I had to speak French, which, you know, I did. And I just said, you know, when I do this scene here with you, do you want to do that? And he just said, you do what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. And I just thought, what a wanker. I mean, I couldn't believe that he just didn't want to run the lines. He was just too big time. Anyway, there you go. There you go. James Franco's a wanker.
Yeah. I think that's come out, hasn't it? So I think that's come out in the wash. What else? Well, there's so many things to talk about. It's insane. Let's have a look. Got them all. Done them all. No, I want to know about this. You did an Easy Listening album with Nikki Campbell.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for the next half an hour.
Yeah.
Let's unpack this.
Yeah, I did. He can write good lyrics and tunes, and we wrote an album together. Yeah. It was very self-indulgent. Yeah.
How did it do in the charts?
It didn't sell many.
I think that would be Nikki Campbell's fault.
Oh.
Well, you're a proven hit maker.
Yeah.
And
but can we talk about the Edinburgh Festival?
Yes, do, yeah.
Do you still do it?
I did do it this year, in 2019. I did this and I did interviews. Last time I did 2017.
But you know what it's like. I mean, if you've never been to the Edinburgh Festival, you've got to go, because it is fantastic for comedy, particularly, I think. And I took a show up there when I was going through my breakup of my marriage, so I didn't want to be doing just comedy. I had this... It was when I was interested in men. I'm not interested in them anymore. But it was about 10 years ago, and I was like, wanted to be a bit of a... And so I was doing music as well, trying to be a bit sexy. And then I had this idea. I thought, right, I'm from originally from Liverpool. I wasn't born here, but I thought the pool, you know, we call it the pool, like. It's known as the pool. So I did a thing called Songs from the Pool, and I did some songs that were... It gets more interesting, this story, honestly. And it was about maritime songs and things like that. And I put my own little slant on these songs. I took a band up to Edinburgh, paid them far too much money, and it had a nice little successful show. It did comedy and music, Songs from the Pool. So it was like real middle-of-the-road Radio 2 audience, Nikki Campbell-type Easy Listening audience. And it was called Songs in the Pool, and I sold out for about 3 nights. I was chuffed up there for 3 weeks. You know what it's like, hard work.
Yeah.
And then I go to the bar after I've done my show one night, and I was like, oh, because we'd sold out. And who's sitting there? Michael Barrymore. And he's sitting there looking miserable as usual, and I knew him from years ago. And I said, you must come and see my show. It's called Songs from the... I wanted to die. And I literally just... I quickly just said, it's called Songs... It's about Liverpool. And he said, it's all right. I know what you're saying. I know it's called. Anyway, came to see the show. I put the joke in the show the next night. But anyway. But, so that was that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's well, and Spitting Image, of course, as well. You did most of the female voices.
Yeah,
in Spitting
that
Image,
was so. Like a 10-year job. That was a great job. God, we were paid well. Oh, it was great. You'd have John Sessions, Rory Bremner, Steve Coogan, John Thompson, and we'd just be like, and John Sessions. I remember him refusing to do dog noises, and I won't do fucking dogs. And he was like, who does he think he is, you know? And I remember Steve Coogan saying to me and John Thompson, what's your 5-year plan, you know, about our careers? And me and John Thompson were just like, well, we'll go to the pub later, I don't know. You know, and we were like, get him being all ambitious. And yes, he did rather well, didn't he, Steve Coogan?
Yeah. He did okay. It's all down to me.
But I've got a cousin who, I don't know if she... I don't think she's here tonight. Becky, are you here? If she's not, no good. Okay, I can tell the story.
It's going to go out on the internet.
No, but Becky, my cousin Becky, she came up to the Edinburgh Festival and she's known in our family for being thick, you see. And it's funny because I've got... Do you know the word cruciverbalist? It means, you know, somebody who loves crosswords. I don't know if anybody here does crosswords, but I love them. And my uncle was a crossword compiler for the... Guardian, The Telegraph and The Times. And I'll tell you about him in a minute. But anyway, so Becky was trying to... I want to be like Uncle Bert. I want to do the crossword. And so she's doing... And these are the sort of things she used to write in her crosswords. E blank blank flightless bird. And we'd go, that's emu, that is. And she goes, oh, fuck, I put egg. Right? She did... Maidens dance around these in the spring. I think it was 7 letters. The answer was maypole, and she put handbag. The best one of all was 8 letters, and the clue, the answer, it was seafaring mammals, and the answer was dolphins. She put ship's cat. For a seafaring mammal. I think it's genius.
It's good.
But So my Uncle Bert, who was a proper compiler, when he died, my brother stood up and did a thing about him and told us, we didn't know this until Ted told us all, he once had a clue sent back to him for being too rude from the Times. Does anybody here do cryptic crosswords? Because if you don't, it might be a waste of story. Anyway, so the clue was, a brave man takes it here where hair grows. And the answer, was on the chin. 2, 3, and 4. Well, they sent it back, said it was too rude. They thought it was up the arse. Isn't that great? A brave man takes it here where hair grows, and the answer was on the chin. Not up the arse.
The crossword was invented in Liverpool. Was that invented by your uncle? Oh, I think it was before, predates your uncle, doesn't it? It was invented. That's what that's one of the facts I learned in researching. The crossword was invented in Liverpool. Anyone know that? Yeah.
Are you joking?
I'm not. It's got to be invented somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. There you go. Grumpy Old Women, that you were on tour with,
yeah.
Jenny.
Oh, God, yeah, they were. Grumpy Old Women as well. No, I love Jenny. Love Jenny Eclair. Susie Blake was quite grumpy.
Right.
Dear Susie. No, we had a laugh, you know, but it was, three people together for months and months and months.
It's a big tour, yeah.
Being driven around in a car together, you know.
And it's not like you're brought together just
for that.
Randomly,
we're all totally different people. Yeah. You know, Susie Blake was really posh and I'm not. And she would always say she wanted a new hotel room, whereas I don't mind hotel rooms.
Apparently he's staying in a bad one tonight, that courtesy of us. It smells of socks.
Yeah. Well, armpits and socks it smells.
Well, that's good. You know, we put that in specially for you. We thought you'd...
No, Grumpy Old Women was a successful show.
Yeah. And then I script edited the first run of that. I was the script editor. So I went to see it quite a lot. That's when it was when they were running.
Yeah, they had
quite a few
different cast members over the years.
And it was the most. It was such an unusual thing because it was a theatre full of mainly middle-aged women, but nearly all women.
Yeah.
And packed and having the time of their lives. I have to say. Jenny wrote it with Judith Holder.
Yes. And Jenny's brilliant.
Very, very funny. But the noise a group of middle-aged women make when they're on their own laughing at the disgraceful thing, it was the most terrifying. Together, 500, 600, 800 of those together, actually made my heart go a bit fast.
I have to defend women now.
Well, no, it was amazing.
But like men sound like arseholes when they laugh together, don't they?
I'm not saying it was arseholes, it was just terrifying. It was a terrifying...
You're not supposed to laugh at football matches, are you? You've got that wrong. No. But so that was interesting. So
it's just a sound you don't hear. That's it. You don't often go to...
Yeah.
Well, I don't, because I'm a man, but maybe there's lots of...
Yeah.
There aren't many shows. It was such a great show because it was aiming at that audience that didn't have shows aimed at them, you know, and there was an audience for it. I remember
one woman saying to me after a Grumpy Old Woman show, she said, you're not doing that spitting images no more. And I said, no, that finished years ago. And she said, oh, I don't know how you pulled all them faces.
So they're bringing spitting image back, though. Have you been asked to return?
I haven't been asked, no. But, I mean, you know, they've probably got some nice young people doing it.
Who were you doing on Spitting Image?
She said, in not a bitter way.
Yeah. You weren't doing it with Steve Nallen did Margaret Thatcher.
Yes, he did Margaret Thatcher like that. And I used to do the Queen Mother occasionally. He did the Queen Mother. I'm a German. But my voice that I did mostly was the Queen, yeah.
Yeah.
Philippe, come to bed once feeling horny. Which means I'll never be a dame, I suppose.
You never know. They might let you.
But, like, we used to... when we heard that somebody wanted a puppet making of them, like Noel Edmonds was like, why haven't I got a puppet? So they would hold off for ages, like just to annoy them. And then when they made it, it was about that big. Tiny little puppet. And then I met Princess Anne at her do. And she said to me, you know, she speaks very much through her nose. Sorry, that sounded like Jimmy Savile. It's gone a bit wrong. She spits through her nose, you know, because she's got a long nose, and so when she talks, it's quite sort of like that. And she said to me, what do you do? And I said, I'm an impressionist. And I thought, I wonder if she knows that I do it. And then she said, do you have an exhibition on anywhere?
Oh, and the thing I wanted to talk to you about, there might not be anything in this, but did you write the theme to Heil Honey, I'm Home? The legendary...
Listen, I was told there's going to be a sitcom about Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun. And and it's called Heil Honey, I'm Home. And it went, Heil Honey, Heil Honey, Heil Honey, Heil Honey, I'm Home. It was like one of those American Bewitched type of beautiful arrangement, I have to say. It lasted 1 week. They got taken off, of course. It was so offensive.
Amazing, though, to write that.
Forgotten about
that. Yeah, well, I'll find out everything. Find everything about you. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions. Here's a new emergency question. Who is the most famous person you've been in a lift with, preferably that you haven't got into the lift with, who's been in the lift when you've got in there?
Brad Pitt.
No way.
Had a drink with them. Well, you know, when you say I had a drink with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the same hotel, same lift. Went out. Went to the same bar, and I just pretended to everyone afterwards that I was chatting to him. I wasn't.
Right.
Yeah. He's absolutely gorgeous. I felt like, oh God.
You had 30 seconds in a lift with him.
Had a bit of a turn when I saw him. Yeah. He's taller than you think.
Right.
He's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was gonna lick his face.
Sometimes I mistake him for Brad Pitt. I genuinely, I was in a cab once. Don't laugh, Chris Evans, at that. I was in a cab once. And I think the cab driver genuinely thought I was Brad Pitt. I was a bit, had long hair. He copied my style for a while, Brad Pitt. I think he must have seen me. I am good looking. That's all I wanted to hear. Just wanted to hear you want to lick my face. That's all I wanted to hear. If you could have any one item from any art gallery or museum in the world, and you're allowed to take it home and keep it, all the museums and art gallery in the world decide that they'll give you one thing. What thing would you take?
Is there... the Mona Lisa.
Okay, just for the cash value?
Just because I look like her and I haven't got my eyebrows.
So you pretend like it was a mirror?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. There's another Mona Lisa. Did you read this in the news this week? There's another copy of the Mona Lisa. I mean, there's lots of them, but there's one they think Leonardo da Vinci might have done. Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah, really. It's a very interesting story. Google it. But someone bought it for 45 quid. Could be worth, you know, quite a bit of money.
Was it him or one of his students?
It, well, they always thought it was one. It was an old, but it's definitely the right age, and they thought it was from the
look at that.
But then now someone said, you know, you would, wouldn't you, if you had that? You know, I think Leonardo da Vinci drew this.
When I went to the Louvre to see it, yeah. I mean, I was embarrassed to ask people where it was, because you know what I mean? Like, where is it? You know, the one, where is she, indoors sort of thing. Yeah.
It's small as well, isn't it? It's not impressive.
It's not, no. And you go, that thing of the eyes following you around. Well, any painting does that if they're looking at you while you... I paint. I love painting. Yeah. I don't know why I've said that. Just
are you as good as Leonardo da Vinci?
No, but I do love painting, and I do like art galleries, and I do like the Walker Art Gallery. Okay. It's a fantastic art gallery.
I'd take the lamb banana home with me. See how far up my arse I could get it. I mean, I've tried it in the street, but you get moved on. let's have you ever seen a ghost, Kate Robbins? That's what I want to know from you.
No.
Don't
believe in them.
What?
Don't believe them. Can I just tell you something else about Liverpool? Which is
amazing. Tell me, we'll talk about Liverpool.
A friend of my brother's has got a Punch and Judy act that he takes up and down the country all year, right? And this is true. My brother said to him, how's it going? This was in the summer. How's it going? He said, yeah, great. He said, the only place it doesn't go down well, he said, is Liverpool. And Ted said, well, why is that? He said, because every time the policeman comes out and goes, where's Mr. Punch? All the kids go, oh, I've not seen him. They won't grass to a policeman, you see. Just thought it was an interesting bit of social comment there. So go on, ghosts, yeah.
Ghosts. You've never seen a ghost?
No. It's daft.
Most actresses have seen ghosts.
She's daft, I believe that.
Because they're mentally ill. Yeah. So it's good to know that you're mentally ill.
Was there a reason you asked that?
Well, because it's exciting if you've seen a ghost, isn't it? And also it helps me ascertain if you're mental. And you turn out that you aren't. So that's why I was surprised. We'll go early, because the people like to hear the early emergency questions that we haven't done for a little while. Would you prefer to have a hand made out of ham?
A what?
Or a hand made out of ham? Or an armpit that dispenses sun cream?
Is this a question that you've all heard before?
Yeah. They've heard it before, they love it. I'm surprised he didn't get a round of applause, to be honest, just being asked. It's like I'm Paul McCartney, I've just done Yesterday, and everyone's going, yeah. It's all right.
The latter, the armpit.
The armpit, sun cream, not a fan of ham. The ham will grow back again, you can eat it.
No, not a fan of
ham.
To be vegetarian, trying to be.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be meat, it would be made out of your hand.
Oh.
It would just taste of ham. But, you know, no animal would have died to create it, would it? I'm not saying every week we're going to scoop out a bit of a pig and stick it in the ham. I'm saying your hand would automatically grow ham. Delicious.
And you asked this question to find out if other people are mental.
We've already established that. I follow Paul McCartney on Twitter, because I asked Paul McCartney to be a guest tonight. I'm not going to say which guest was going
to
replace.
He doesn't have anything to do with his Twitter account.
I did it through... I went through his agent. And his agent immediately emailed me back, said, I'm just listening to you talking to Jimmy Cricket. This is very interesting. He's not available. But on Twitter, he said, ask me Paul McCartney, or someone pretending to be Paul McCartney, it's Paul McCartney pretending to be Paul McCartney. That is the real... That's the real question, and that's why I want to have him on, to find out if he's... You probably know, being in the family, if he... actually died in a car crash in 1963.
It's the sort of thing he sort of would... he didn't die in a car crash.
Are you sure? Well, yeah, you were in on it, aren't you?
That was horrible for the family at the time, all that, though.
Yeah. What, him dying in the car crash? I imagine it would be. Then having to... They said, don't worry,
no, the
we got another
dead.
Bloke in. He looks quite like him. Turns out he's actually a better songwriter and singer than Paul. It's
better. The whole theory is of people that say that he's not the original Paul.
I know. I didn't ask him about that. It's interesting to get... You know, Jane Asher, he had to go, yeah, sorry, carry on, go now. And it's just, he looks the same, nearly. Make him a cake, it'll be fine. I asked him, ham hand or our sun cream armpit. He said, ask me one question. That's what Paul McCartney on Twitter said. And I said, ham hand or sun cream armpit. What a waste of a question, wasn't it, for Paul? Because he's a vegetarian, he's never going to say ham. Even he's not going to wait for me to go, oh, don't worry, Paul, you can still eat it.
No.
Should have asked him if he ever tried to suck his own cock. Had that. Should have asked in the Human Centipede. Someone said, I do a question when I'll ask you in a second. You know the Human Centipede, the film The Human Centipede, which is three people
stitched together,
mouth to anus. And I said, I should have asked that. And then someone said, you should have asked him which of the two Beatles. But you'd have George Harrison in front, and if you were Paul McCartney, you'd have John Lennon behind. So it's not, that would be a waste of, that's a waste of a question. And Pete Best is watching. Maybe it wasn't so bad after all, Pete. If you were in a human centipede with two other people, we could choose that. No, I'm not going to ask you that. You're a respected member of the show. What's wonderful about you, Kate? It's all right, don't have to. I'll tidy up after myself. I drop things all the time. I think you have worked constantly since the 1980 Eurovision Song Contest. That's your first proper job. Which is not a bad place to start. And you've worked constantly throughout all that time and done so many, like, impressions, acting, comedy, singing, so many different disciplines. And to me, that's, in show business, that's more impressive than anything, I think, isn't it?
You're being serious now.
I do. I really don't think so.
Wait for the bar.
But... No. I think there aren't many people who just sort of stay at a high level as well all the way through.
Well, it's quite hard to sort of keep earning a living, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if you're in America, you see, Tracy Ullman, who I knew years ago, before she went to America, she said to me, you know, like, you need to come over to America because they love it when people can do lots of different things in America. Whereas I think in this country, you are looked at as like a sort of, well, what do you do? You know, what are you? Do you know what I mean? They like to pigeonhole you.
Yeah, but they don't like it if you try something different, no. I think, as well. If they know you as something, then it's difficult.
Morris dancing, I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, it's hot, I don't know.
Is there a secret to it? Is it?
I don't know, it's funny because I think you've just got to bring the changes. Like, I've just been on tour with a show called Club Tropicana, which is an 80s musical tour thing. And I played the Spanish cleaning lady. And I was annoyed because somebody said, yes, the stereotypical obese. And I went, hang on a minute, obese. I was more worried about the word obese. I think you've got to bring the changes and just, like, do theatre, and then you've got to do a bit of telly, and then you've got to do a bit of this, a bit of that.
But I think it's also being able to adapt, I think some of the 80s entertainers, or certainly the 70s entertainers going into the 80s, they couldn't... Things sort of changed in the 80s, which was an interesting place for your career to start, because there was that variety, there was that sort of comedy, and then throughout the 80s, it changed into something completely different.
Yeah, I went on Harry Enfield doing Sarah Ferguson when they got engaged. Sarah Ferguson and Andrew got engaged. And I gave her that stupid laugh, you know, sort of, and I did a joke. They've named a pudding after me at Buckingham Palace. It's called Ginger Sponge. And the poor woman had never, ever made that noise in her life. And when I met her, and she said, why did you give me that awful noise, you know, on Spitting Image and every time you do it? And I said, I just don't like you.
Her husband turned out to be a nice guy, though.
Gotta be yourself. Quite rude of me.
It was rude. I wonder if she knew. what Andrew was up to, we can't talk about it. So it's...
Well, I say to Emily, you know, my daughter Emily.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Emily.
I say, you know, because, like, she does impressions because she's got a natural talent for, you know, impressions. But I have said to her, don't go down that road of just being an impressionist because it really does go nowhere. Because, like, you know, Steve Coogan was an impressionist to start off with. Yeah. Lenny Henry was, you know. You can't do it forever.
No,
it's something a bit sad about seeing somebody of my age doing impressions. I think I don't actually like doing impressions, although I can't help it. Do you know what I mean?
But it's a wonderful skill to have.
It's like Kim Woodburn when I do her. You know, that's like, oh, my dirty, filthy, stinking. I tell you what, my love, she's a dirty, stinking, filthy bitch. And then I met up with the woman, and she was dead nice. You know, she's got the eye. She can't help that. But that's really cruel, isn't it, to do somebody's dodgy eye like that?
Yeah.
And that's just cruel. It's not very nice.
I'm glad you've moved on from doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not nice.
I can't stop myself from doing it. And when I met her, she was really nice, and I felt bad, and she said, you know, why did you do the eye? You dirty, stinking, filthy bitch. But it's just cruel. It's so cruel. To be a good impressionist, you have to be horrible and cruel.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but I was watching you singing your song from Crossroads on YouTube, and you and Emily looks very like you. I think it's fair to say that there's a big similarity there. What's it like seeing your daughter becoming like big?
Yeah, well, when I saw her stand-up show, and she talks about, you know, having it off a lot, and that's quite hard for a parent to listen to. She does a whole routine about when you're having it off and you're on top of a bloke, and he's like, go. Don't think I want to see my daughter doing that. But apart from that, I'm very proud of her. Yeah.
She was on that I'm Celebrity, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
Did you go?
That was, do you know, I went out there.
Yeah.
Doing I'm a Celebrity, we, as a family, we all sat around in a big meeting going like, does she do it or not? And I said, well, what's the worst that can happen is that she gets voted off first. Because that would be a bit embarrassing if you're the first one off.
Yeah.
And then I thought, she won't get voted off first. She's young. It's always the old ones, isn't it, to get voted off. Yeah. You haven't been on it, have you?
I haven't, no. I got voted off before.
And it was the best thing she's ever done because people got to see her showcase her talents, you know.
So, yeah.
But now I'm Emily Atack's mum. That's all I'm known as. Yeah. You wait till your kids are doing stand-up.
I'll be dead by then. That's the beauty. Yes. A, I'm giving them lots of material so they can have a dead dad show. It's great. You need that as a comedian. They're funny. My daughter is a cheeky little. She was giving me advice about. I was telling you about stage, but she sort of got into knowing that knock knock jokes are a thing, but she doesn't understand how they work. So her knock knock joke, she says, "Knock knock, who's there?" Doctor Bear, she says for some reasons, which there must be. She must have heard one with something like this in. And then you go, "Doctor Bear, who?" She goes, Dr. Bear, he went down the street, he did a poo, and then he jumped in the toilet and ran around and does a long sort of monologue. And I crack up laughing. He goes, I made you laugh. I go, yeah. Then he goes, you do one. And I go, not like who's there. And you go, you know, I don't know, Fee.
I'm not as good as she is.
Well, I'm not as good. I'm trying to think of a real one.
She's funnier than you.
I'm trying to think of a real one, but you go, you know, Isabel, necessarily on a bicycle. She goes, no, that's not funny, because you need to have some poo in there and have some. So she'll
I think she's probably right.
Yeah,
about
she's
that.
Right. Yeah. So you know, she's already there. I'm now the third funniest person in our family. But you know, I'm funnier than my son.
You got a son, Paul. What did he say?
I'm funnier than my son is what I said. He's my 2-year-old. I'm not. He's pretty funny too.
Competitive dad.
Yeah, I'll take him on. You work with Sean Hughes. Do you remember working on Sean's show?
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, sad about him.
It was very sad about
There's
Sean.
There's another one gone.
Yeah, you killed him. The thing is, you've got that magic thing that stops heart attacks, and you could have given it to all of the members of Last Summer Wine.
Don't be horrible.
They're never saving that up for my brother.
Sean was lovely.
He was.
But, you know, poor old Sean. Yeah, aw. I liked him. He was nice. He was good to work with.
Yeah, but this, you know, that's show. It's a weird thing, show business, and it is. Mm. It does have these, you know, it has these casualties of, you know, because of that. People trying to kind of replicate. Yeah. I suppose.
I mean, Peter Kay. When I went up for to audition for the role of the sex. What's that company called? Sex toys. Ann Summers. Thanks. So the part was, it was called Ladies' Night, the episode, and she was, I was playing an Ann Summers sex toy seller. And the reason I got that job was because I made Peter laugh, because I went in, I took a carrot on the train and I fashioned it in front of him into a penis. And that made him laugh.
Yeah.
You know, made Peter laugh.
Yeah.
But he's, He's going to be back soon, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, but it's, you know, you what? Are you glad that it's the family business? Is it worrying seeing your?
Well, the thing is, my dad was always. He was always so showbiz, and everything had to be showbiz. Like, he was the one who taught, you know, Paul and John Lennon, you know, to play and like, do. I used to tell them to stick their guitars up their arse when they went, ooh! And they, Paul always says, thank God we didn't take his advice. But my dad used to always use showbiz references. Like, there was a woman in the chemist in our village, and he'd say, oh, she's killing the front of house, that woman. She's really killing the front of house. It's like, Dad, it's a chemist. He said, no, she's on now if you want to go and see her. She's on. You mean she's working? So everything was a showbiz term.
Yeah.
And then when I got my honorary degree of... you know, the degree ceremony is very dull. It goes on for hours and you're just queuing up and then you just get your degree. My dad was there and he hadn't spoken to my husband since we'd split up. And so my husband came to see me get my degree, but they'd been like, they hadn't spoken for 2 years. And I thought, God, what are they going to say to each other? And they were just standing there, and my husband looked at my dad, and it had been going on for hours. And my dad just turned to him and he went, "It'll never tour." Which, you know, everything was showbiz to him. Yeah. He was just Mr. Showbiz. He really was. So he was great in that respect.
So what have you got? Have you got anything planned coming up that when we?
Well, I'm doing Hitchin Comedy Store next month.
Are you? I'll come and see you. That's where I'm really near where I live.
Do you live there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing the town hall there.
Are you?
With Tony Slattery. Yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay, cool.
Remember Tony Slattery?
I do. He did my podcast in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
It was extremely good.
Well, I believe so, yeah.
So you're doing something together or something separate?
No, we're just doing our own.
Your own bits.
So I'm doing a bit of the piano. We're just doing a little thing there. Yeah. It's comedy night. Comedy night.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's about all I've got in my book planned.
There will be more.
Yes.
Kate Robbins, I can say that for sure. Thank you so much for coming to Liverpool. Ladies and gentlemen, Kate Robbins! Thank you, Helen. Thank you. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Come on, next week. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Kate Robbins. Thank you to Pest for playing this music. Thank you to everyone at the Liverpool Playhouse. Thank you to Chris Evans, not that one. Everyone at GoFaster Stripe. Thank you to everyone at ACAS. I'm in debt to my executive producer, Guy Trevelyan Edwards. Pretty good executive producer, not the best, but you know, he did all right. I'm indebted to my producer, James Hingley, and I'm indebted to my overall tour producer, Ben Walker. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster Stripe production for the internet. Go to rahulastapa.co.uk to find out more. Go to gofasterstripe.com/badges to become a monthly badger and help us make even more podcasts. This one, an exciting new venture we've got planned for later in the year, hopefully. Thank you. See you later. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.